Morning. If you don't know who I am, my name is Kurt Kissinger. I want to add one thing real quickly to what Alex just ended with. My father experienced the chastening hand of God in his life. And I don't know if it was specifically with Parkinson's disease or not. I'm not sure if my dad was struggling with sin and the Lord needed to get his attention. But I read through my dad's Bible after he passed away. In two verses he had marked in Psalm 119, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." In verse 71, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." So just a brief comment on what Alex ended with. It is very important to know that God loves us, and he chastens us because he loves us, and it's for our edification and our growth and our sanctification in him. All right, I've been tasked with talking to you this morning about creating an atmosphere of affection and trust with your children. Creating an atmosphere of affection and trust with your children. I looked up the words affection and trust in Webster's dictionary, so I just want to read those to you. Affection is a feeling of liking and caring for someone or something, a tender attachment. Trust was defined as a reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something, one in which confidence is placed. I think all of us as parents would love to hear our children tell someone, "My parents have a deep love and affection for me, and I have a deep love and affection for my parents." Or we would be thrilled to know that our children trust us because of the character they see in us, that we are trustworthy people with how we handle ourselves with others. Creating an atmosphere of affection and trust are crucial to our relationship with our children. So for the next few minutes, I'd like to share some ways in which we can build affection and trust with our children. Obviously, this is not an exhaustive list. We could talk about this for hours, but I do believe these will be helpful. Number one, love God and others well. Love God and others well. Jesus was asked, what was the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Pursue a loving relationship with God. Your children need to see that, and you want them to emulate that. That's the most important relationship they will ever have, is a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Pursue and love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Care for those around you. The care that your children see in you, emulated, or in you towards others, is important. They need to see that you're a caring person, that other people can trust you. They need to see that your relationship with God is one that you pursue, that you love God, that you trust God, that you have an affectionate relationship with God. And you want that for them. So love God and love others well. Number two, love your spouse well. Love your spouse well. I can't think of anything more practical or more important in my relationship with my children than loving my spouse well. I think that is the greatest example that we have with them. So much time we spend in our home with our families. Love your spouse well. They are watching you. Ephesians 5, and we won't break this down too much, but Ephesians 5 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Neither one of these commands, or the commands of both of these, are unqualified, meaning it's not dependent upon the other person. My wife submitting to me is not dependent upon me being smarter than her and more spiritually mature than her, or that I know more scripture than her. My responsibility of loving my wife like Christ loved the church is not dependent upon Stephanie's performance towards me. Our parents, as parents, our children need to see that we love each other because we are biblically following what God has commanded in his word, how we should love each other. We want to love our wives. We want to love our husbands. God has commanded us to do that, and we need to do that well in front of our children. Speak kindly to your spouse. Be affectionate with your spouse. I would argue that this is one of the greatest ways we can build trust and affection with our children, is the way we biblically display our trust and our love and our affection for our spouse. I believe this is attractive to our children. It shows that we are for one another and for them. This is the most important earthly relationship we have, and our children need to witness our trust and affection for each other. If we don't show love, respect, and trust for each other, I believe it could affect the opportunity to build a loving and affectionate and trusting relationship with our children. Be careful not to speak in a degrading way toward your spouse or about your spouse, especially in front of your children or in front of others. I've been in situations where I've seen wives with their friends and their kids are sitting right there and they're talking about what a joke their husband is. How degrading is that? What kind of confidence does that put in that child towards their father? Be careful of how you speak about your spouse. Speak of them in ways that uplift them and encourage them, that build them up in front of your children. All right. So number one, love God. Number two, love your spouse well. Number three, love your children well. Love them unconditionally. Spend time with them. Make time with your children a priority. You can do this together as parents. You can do it one-on-one with them. Each opportunity is going to present itself differently. Your children need to know that you enjoy them, that you desire them, that you are pursuing them because you love them. We are busy, but we can't be so busy that we neglect nurturing and loving our children well. Redeem the time that God has given you with your children. Redeem that time well, because it goes by so quickly. I have a 20-year-old. Seems like it was two yesterday. 20 years old. It goes by quickly. I remember when Stephanie and I were first having children, there was a lady across the street that went to our church. And she just told us how quickly life goes by and how quickly our children grow, and didn't really think much about it at the time. But now they are grown. Two of them are grown, graduated adults, ready to face the world. How have we loved them? How is our relationship with them? Or have we nurtured them well? Are we nurturing them well? Redeem the time that God has given you. Read with them. Read the Bible with them. Read books with them, especially when they're young. Kids love to read books with their parents. I do not like to read, but I loved reading books with my kids when they were young. Read with them, pray with them, laugh with them, cry with them, sit quietly with them. Go out to eat with them one-on-one. One of the things I like to do every time one of my children, I only have four, sounds like I have a lot more when I say all my children. One thing I like to do is take them out to breakfast when it's their birthday. And they know that's just a special time. Hey, where are we going for breakfast, Dad? Where are we going to breakfast, Dad? Think of special times when you can spend one-on-one with your child. Go out in the backyard and throw a ball with them. Go for a walk with them. Go for a drive with them. Have fun with them. Enjoy your children. Be intentional about spending quality time with them to help cultivate an affectionate and trusting relationship. Psalm 127:3, and I think Alex referenced this at the beginning this morning, "Behold, children are a heritage." Some translations say a gift or a blessing. Children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Enjoy your children. Love your children. Make sure they know that you enjoy them and that you love them. Spend time with them, loving your children well. Spend time with them, communicate with them well. Intentionally seek to speak with your child every day. They need to know that speaking with them is a priority to us, that they are important, that the issues and the struggles in their lives are important to us. We need to tell them we love them every day, at least once a day. They need to know it in our actions and through our words. Let them know how thankful we are to be their mom and dad. Talk with them about truths from the sermons that you hear in church, through their Sunday school lessons. Talk with them about things going on in their lives. If we want them to talk with us and seek counsel from us as they get older, we need to be intentional about creating an atmosphere of communication with them now. Not only should we be intentional about speaking with them, but we should be loving and gracious in how we speak to them. We can often become frustrated and disappointed with our children, and the decisions and the actions of our children at times. And how we speak to them in those situations can either stunt or create growth and trust and affection with our children. Proverbs 17:27 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." If we desire to build trust with our children and open communication with them, we need to be wise and speak with restraint. Speak the truth, but speak it in love and out of a concern for them and for their heart. When I was younger, I guess I was about 11 or 12, and my dad was kind of he had quite a temper on him, but this one incident, he really kind of honed it in, and I'm not sure why or how. I think it was the grace of God, and it was a good learning experience in my life. But I was with a friend, and we had stopped at a convenience store. I actually had invited my friend to youth group with me. And we had stopped at a convenience store. My dad was getting gas. We were on our way home from church. And me and my friend, like we always did, we'd go into the convenience store, and we used to steal baseball cards. So we walked in, and there's a mirror above the back aisle. And my dad just happened to be looking up in the store as he was pumping the gas, and the mirror was reflecting right down on my friend and I, and he saw us putting baseball cards in our pocket. And when I came out, you know, my dad pulled me aside and told me what he saw, and of course I had a little tantrum, which Alex wouldn't have put up with. but my dad handled it in a gracious, godly way. He didn't embarrass me. But he was to the point. He asked me if I'd ever done it before. I said yes. He said, "Well, we're going back to every store that you've ever done this, and you're going to go in and you're going to apologize and you're going to pay for anything you've ever taken." It was just a great learning experience for me. My dad really could have badgered me. He talked to me about my heart and didn't want me to go down that destructive path. He could have acted in haste. He could have acted very angrily, but he didn't. He disciplined me well. When you ask your kids to do a chore, I was thinking of, I'll just use Caleb as an example, and this isn't a true example. I'm just going to throw it out there. But if I asked Caleb to cut our backyard, and I gave him all these instructions, and then I go out there and inspect what he's done, and he has not done half of what I've asked him to do, I could really, you know, he just did a really sloppy job. I could speak to him in frustration. I could say, "What are you, a three-year-old? You an idiot? You a moron?" Have you ever been called that when you were a child? Yeah. Our speech is very important. How we speak to our kids is very important. It can be very degrading. Or we could give them loving instruction. "Hey, son, I asked you to do this well, and you didn't do it well." And the Bible asks us to do all things to the glory of God. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or cut my backyard, do all things for the glory of God." It's important that you do things well and finish things well. I love you. I'm concerned about you. I want you to grow into a good young man that's responsible. They need to believe that we are for them and that we love them and we desire what is best for them. The quiet words of the wise, Ecclesiastes 9:17 says, are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Ted Tripp says about this verse that shouting puts emotion in the foreground and meaning in the background. It fails really to instruct the heart. Proverbs 16:21 says, "The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness." If we expect our children to come to us in times of need, in times of tough decisions, in times of struggling with sin, we must build an environment where they feel safe to be vulnerable. Where they feel that they're loved unconditionally. Why would they come to us if we've created distance with harsh words or harsh tones or belittling or degrading comments towards them? Ephesians chapter 4, Paul spends time speaking of new life and that believers have in Christ and what that should look like. In verse 24, Paul says, "Put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." And down in verse 29, he says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may be grace to those who hear." Even corrective speech should be speech that edifies and builds up. Grace to those who hear. This type of speech should be witnessed by our children in all of our relationships, with our spouse, with their siblings, with them, with our friends, with their coworkers. Our speech should be seasoned with grace. Our children will be more likely to come to us with their difficulties and failures if we seek to instruct them and edify them for the glory of God. Do not belittle your spouse in front of your children. Do not belittle your children in front of their siblings, etc., etc., etc. What about sin? When we have to deal with sin in our children's lives, we must discipline with love. The goal of discipline is not behavior modification of the heart, not behavior modification, but a change of heart towards sin. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Another version says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." We need to seek to instruct their hearts. They need to see the evil desires of their heart as sinful before God, and to see their ultimate need to repent and turn from those desires and turn to God through Christ. The goal then of our discipline as Christian parents is to turn their hearts towards Christ and to repentance and faith in Him. Only faith in Jesus Christ will bring about true heart change. So in dealing with sin, seek their heart in that issue. Ben and Alex have both done a great job speaking of that. But their heart, for from it flow the springs of life. Only faith in Jesus Christ will bring about true heart change. And I believe it's important to deal with sin and not to necessarily bring it up again. Now, if you see it as a pattern in their life, you see it as a road of a destructive thing that's going on in their life, it may be appropriate. But kind of like Alex said, when you spank your child and you deal with that, they should be running and playing within the next couple minutes. It's not something we hold over their heads. We want them to be able to trust us. We want them to be able to come to us. And if we keep holding things over their head and bringing things back up, why would they ever want to come to us? Make sure that we don't hold it over their heads. Make sure that they know, hey, we've dealt with this. It's done. I love you. Let's move on. Just as God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, and He's buried them in the deepest parts of the sea, we need to do our best, imperfectly, obviously, not to bring those things back up, but to graciously move past those things and help them to move past those things. Finally, humble yourself. And I think Ben hit this well enough, so I'll be real quick here. Be quick to admit and confess when you have sinned and seek reconciliation with your children. If you've sinned against your spouse, if you've talked in a way that was inappropriate, if you've disciplined and angered your children, be quick to confess and to be reconciled to them. Ben mentioned hypocriticalness, being hypocritical. Do not be hypocritical in front of your children. Usually when we yell at our children or make a degrading comment, it's because of sin in our own hearts. It's motivated by selfishness because they've embarrassed us or inconvenienced us, or we've had a bad day, so we take it out on them. When we discipline from selfishness, it fails to address their hearts and their need for Christ. Acknowledge to them your confession of sin to God, and seek forgiveness from your children as well. Do not try to justify your outburst because of someone else or some circumstance. Be humble. Emulate humility for your children so that they will be humble. Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So in summary, number one, love God and others well. Number two, love your spouse well. Number three, love your children well. A, intentionally by spending time with them. B, intentionally speaking with them. C, speaking in ways that edify them. D, disciplining them in ways with love and grace that seeks to change their heart. And then number four, humble yourself. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this time. We pray that you would redeem this time well for us. We pray that you would help us to love our children well. Pray that you would help us to have good, healthy, trusting, affectionate relationships with our children. May you teach our hearts. May you humble us. May we be the parents that you've called us to be. These children are a gift to us from you, dear God. Help us to be good stewards. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.